Welcome to Spin Control, a fibercraft podcast from Forever Handmade. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spin Control, episode 153, Life Goes On. In this episode, I've got plenty of knitting and spinning, and we're going to talk a little bit about downsizing and what I've been up to lately. But of course, we will kick this episode off with some updates. Since I recorded the last episode, we celebrated Mother's Day, and it was a huge, huge success. It was pretty fantastic. As we planned, we met up with Itty Bitty and Bird in Fort Collins, Colorado, and hung out, went to some breweries, visited some local yarn stores, which was pretty cool. We only made it to two yarn stores, the first of which was Lambspun of Colorado, which is a pretty interesting little eclectic store that's kind of got a ton of stuff spread all over, like this little space, and the various little rooms are just packed full of yarn and notions and bags and just all sorts of stuff. And there were people all over and it was really, really interesting. The girls came in with me. I didn't really pick anything up while I was there, but it was really cool to get in the space and see what they've got going on. So that was cool. There was like a lot of customers in there, so it was a little difficult to move around the space, but it was fine. It was great to see that shop and hang out there with my girls. And then, of course, I did make it to My Sister Knits, which is one of my favorite shops. Their yarn selection is great. It's a two-story little place. It's actually set up in a carriage house behind a home in Fort Collins. And it's just really, really cute and really, really neat. And they have a lot of really great yarn. And the owners are super friendly. And I may have gotten sucked into one purchase. Just, it was kind of my obligatory I'm visiting yarn stores purchase, and I'm not sad about it. When I get ready to cast on the sweater, I will tell you more about the yarn that I purchased and the pattern that I have picked out to go with it. But that was a lot of fun. It was great to see the girls and just have a relaxing day with the fam, with no obligations, and it was cool. I really had a great time. What else? I have been, I guess, spending the last few weeks trying to adjust to the life of the unemployed. And it's weird. It's good, but it's weird. Like, I'm getting a lot of stuff done that I had intended to do several times over the however many years. But if I have a day that's less productive where I don't do things for both myself and for the house, I feel terribly guilty and unproductive, even though, I mean, everybody deserves some downtime, right? I don't know. It's really hard to adjust because, you know, going from the standard 9 to 5 and spending 40 plus hours a week just nose to the grindstone working, it's hard to feel that every day is productive when you don't have the demands of someone else coming down on you. But when I say it like that, it's really kind of awesome to not have the demands of someone else coming down on me. Yeah, so it's a bit of a trade-off. I'm sure that as time progresses, I will fully settle in and just feel more comfortable in my current situation. And of course, like I said in the last episode, I don't really know how long this current situation is going to last, so we shall see. But in that time, as I said, I'm taking advantage of opportunities to get my stuff in order. My focus for this past 2 weeks has been getting my websites refreshed, back in order, making sure everything is up to date, and, you know, making sure I'm comfortable with the look and feel of both the podcast website and the blog. And my next step is to get my Etsy shop back up to par so I can start to post some things for sale there. I'm very tempted, but because of the travel we have planned for the next few weeks, I'm not even going to try to post anything new besides some digital patterns I have listed on the Etsy site until probably the second week of June. But in the meantime, I can build a plan for what I want the shop to look like moving forward. But I feel pretty good about the progress that I've made on what the Forever Handmade brand looks like out there in cyberspace. So that's pretty awesome. And really, I've just been spending this time taking it one day at a time and trying to make progress on everything and feel good about the situation that I'm currently in. And the last bit of updates that I am about to make is that this week, Itty Bitty started her very last semester of her bachelor's degree program. And I have paid tuition for the very last time for one of my family members, which is a pretty awesome feeling. And I'm glad that the timing worked out with the end of my career in federal service. So yeah, she's got, it's technically 2 8-week summer terms back to back, but only 10 credits. There are 2 credit courses in her nursing program, and then she'll be done and she'll have her bachelor's degree. And Itty Bitty's gonna like join the workforce for real. It's crazy to think how little she was. She was in elementary school when I started the podcast. It's insane. So what, her birthday is coming up and she will be, oh my word, she'll be 24. And I've had this podcast since 2010. So yeah, she was 9 when I started the podcast. She was absolutely adorable and the sweetest thing. And she still is the sweetest thing most days. She's a treat. And it's just hard to believe that she has come so far in the amount of time that I've been doing this little podcast of ours. Well, it looks like that's just about all I've got going on in updates. So I guess it's time to get this podcast started. In this edition of Spin a Tale, I want to talk about downsizing and what that means to me in my future. So, much to the boys' chagrin, that does not mean moving away from our little hobby farm and moving into a little tiny condo to make our lives easier so we don't have as much grass to mow and as much square footage to take care of. But what downsizing means to me these days is getting rid of stuff I know that I'm legitimately never, ever going to use in my craft space. So I'm still working on the 27 things in the craft room. I haven't just set aside a day to bury myself in cleaning the craft room, primarily because we have the puppy. And my craft room is located on the basement floor of our house. And I don't want the dogs down there. I don't want them, because I mean, he's like 12 weeks old, 14 weeks old. He is not fully potty trained by any means. I have to prompt him to go outside and do his business. I don't want him roaming around in my basement doing his business where I can't find it, because that would just be terrible. I keep my pets on the main floor of my house, right? Where I don't have any carpet or things like that. I can get them in and out. And if he just has a terrible accident, super easy to clean up on this tile floor. I don't want them down there. But if I leave them unattended upstairs, accidents are bound to happen. He's just too young for me to leave him unattended for any long period of time. I can go downstairs for 20 or 30 minutes while all the pups are napping, get a few things done, and then come back up and I can do tons of stuff up here, but the craft room is downstairs and I just can't dedicate like a whole day to doing a serious clean out. So that's still coming along. But as I'm cleaning up and going through things and putting them away, deciding the fate of each of those 27 things doesn't mean I'm going to put them in a drawer or on a shelf or back in a bin. Some of those things are going to leave the craft room, and I am okay with that. Like, I'm legitimately okay with that. When Itty Bitty lived here when she was in high school, she spent quite a bit of time tie-dyeing t-shirts. I have exactly zero interest in dyeing anything. Not t-shirts, not yarn. Like, the girls and I Kool-Aid dyed yarn 1,000 years ago, like in the first couple years of this podcast. And that was the only dyeing I have any intention of doing. But I have like all these plastic bottles and bins. I have no interest in dyeing. I don't need a dye pot. I don't need all these plastic bottles for dyeing. So I can get rid of them. And I'm not just throwing them away. One of the things that I discovered, I didn't discover it. I just have not been able to get there before now. I went to a store in Colorado Springs called Who Gives a Scrap. My Nick girls who listen to this podcast, like Barb and Linda and Lisa, probably, maybe one of the Anns, you know about this store. Since I've been unemployed, I made my way over to a store called Who Gives a Scrap for the very first time. I've lived in this town since 2017. So in 8-ish years, I've never made it to this store. It's called Who Gives a Scrap. This store is essentially a thrift store for craft supplies only. So it's not like finding the random skein of yarn at the local Goodwill or other thrift store. The entire store is dedicated to rehoming craft supplies that you're not going to use. And like, so I walked in there and it was really hard, but I walked out with exactly nothing because I'm trying to downsize. I'm not trying to add to my stash or to the things in my craft room. But I did discover a few things, like I could really use some new bobbins for my sewing machine. And they have just buckets of bobbins from sewing machines just sitting there. So you can find the ones that work with your machine and take them. And they're next to nothing. There's a huge, huge basket of Scrabble tiles, and they're 25 cents a piece. Like literally like a wash tub full of Scrabble tiles. So anything in my craft room that I don't want, I can donate it to this place and someone else will love it and use it instead of it just collecting dust, sitting on my shelves. The dye supplies, that was just one example of the many things. Like there's some just crafts I'm never going to take on. Why did I even purchase that thing? I thought it was so cool when I saw the ad or I walked past it in Joann's or Michael's. And yeah, I just don't need it and I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. So why am I keeping it? Why is it taking up space in my craft room when I'm not going to do it? Like my goal with this time of mine is to get all my supplies and my craft room in order and start using this stuff like every day. Like I want to be able to go, you know, it'd be cool if I did X, Y, and Z and just go down into my craft room and be able to do it. Like we just recently set up a cute little fireplace area down below our deck. So when the wind is blowing or if it's snowing, we literally have an outdoor fireplace out there and we've got some really cool patio chairs and those sorts of things set up around it. But what the boy would like is various blankets. So you have lap blankets when you go out there next to the fire, or the puppies can use them to keep warm. And it occurred to me, I had the supplies to make several flannel quilts. And like the blocks are already cut and ready to be seen. These are just really, really simple, like 12 by 12 inch blocks of flannel that's been collected from shirts that I can turn into these simple, really comfy, really cozy, convenient blankets. But right now, my craft space is in no condition for me to go make those. I've got to get this done. Like I've got to get it in order because there's so many things I want to do. My sewing space is in total disarray because I haven't been using it. My big goal is to downsize my craft supplies and have my craft room in order by June 1st. It's a little bit of a tall order. However, it's a good goal. So like that's the first 30-ish days of this unemployment period. And this is what the boy asked me to do first, to get my craft space in order. So I'm going to be downsizing and I'm going to be getting organized and I've got like a week left. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Yeah. I need to stop holding on to stuff that I might use or might find a purpose for. I'm ready. I'm ready. The time is now. And now it's on to spinning my wheels. Still being productive, making some progress. I am working through the sleeves on the sweater. Not super fast, but I am working through them. I'm actually almost halfway through the first sleeve, but I'm about to try it on because I legitimately do not want the sleeves to be like too snug. And I think the rate at which the pattern projects that they will decrease, I think that by the time I get to the cuff, it would be very uncomfortable on me and not the kind of fit that I would enjoy. So I'm going to try it on here probably today to make sure that we're progressing and that the fit is going to be something that I like. I would hate to like get all the way through the two sleeves and decide that I needed to rip them back because it was too snug. And I think that that's where we're headed. So look, I'm like, feel like such a mature knitter right now. You know, I'm reading patterns all the way through. I'm trying things on to make sure they fit before I finish them so I don't have to cut things off. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. I like this sweater a lot. I love the way it's fitting so far. Let me just make sure that the sleeves are going to fit the way I would like. And then I should be able to fly through this and have it ready to wear at Estes Park Wool Market, which is the week of June 2nd. And the Lay Burn socks. In our last adventure, Waylon, my oldest dachshund, had totally dismantled an entire cake of yarn and turned it into a knotted mess. And I had to rip back the entire sock and reball this rat's nest of yarn. But he didn't break the yarn, which is kind of awesome. And it wasn't so tangled that I wasn't able to get it undone. I untangled it, reballed it, cast on the Layburn sock. Again, I'm only doing one at a time this go round, which is unusual for me, but I kind of find that more convenient for travel knitting is with I'm only working on one at a time because the project bag gets carried around and thrown in the car. And when I have like two sets of needles working, it can get pretty messy in there. And I don't want that to happen with these. So yeah, I cast on again and I'm more than halfway through the first foot again, and I'm still loving the pattern and enjoying the knit, and it's coming along swimmingly. And I'm glad I finally got around to making this pattern. I also ripped out those machine knit socks that I was working on in the Knit Picks Stroll Tweed and started and finished them again. And this time I didn't mess up and dropped exactly zero stitches because I had my sock machine set up correctly this time around. And all I have left on those is to graft the toes. I recently saw a question online about grafting the toe in machine knit socks. Someone asked, how is that different from grafting or doing Kitchener stitch in any other type of pattern? And it's all about, I don't know, if you don't machine knit, you're not going to understand this, but it's all about the waste yarn. And I actually used the same technique to graft the straps onto the back of a tank top I had been knitting. And I'm like, duh, this is genius. I am never, ever, ever going to Kitchener stitch the same way again because I learned this cool technique through sock machine knitting. And I don't think I would have ever come across it any other time. So I am not a Kitchener stitch purist. I've been doing this for 15 years and I still have to use a cheat card to do traditional Kitchener stitch. But I believe I am now over it and I'm never going to do traditional Kitchener stitch again because I understand how to use waste yarn and align it and do it inside out. And maybe one day I will make a video to show you what I'm talking about because it's pretty awesome. Pretty, pretty awesome. Actually, maybe one day soon I will make a video and show you how to do it. But yeah, so that's all I have left on those machine knit socks. I've also been thinking about knitting two different things. So sometimes I get pattern ideas that race through my brain and I just have to write them down because if I don't, I'll forget. I will think it's a brilliant idea and then I will 100% totally forget that I had this idea and I'll rack my brain for weeks. So I've been thinking about knitting two things. I have an idea for a garter stitch striped wrap. I don't know why, but I saw a pattern. I don't know if it was a sweater or something like that online recently. And garter stitch stripes just, it's like, makes me so happy. I love garter stitch to begin with. And the idea of garter stitch stripes just pleases me to no end. So I've got an idea and I've got to work out the details on that. And then I think I'm just about ready to design my first sweater. It's going to be a raglan, and I have an idea for some unique increases that I would like to try to execute. So I'll be swatching for that here soon. I'll probably take some scrap yarn and needles with me to Estes Park and start doing some swatching for those increases while I'm there. Otherwise, that's all I've got going on in knitting. In addition to knitting, I have been getting some spinning done. I finished spinning and plied 2 ounces of Polworth. I have about 6 ounces of that partial fleece left to spin and ply. It's a lot of fun. But the one thing that I'm learning or reminding myself of is having a tensioned lazy Kate to ply off of is very, very important. If you just look at my singles, they seem very, very, very overspun. But then when I ply them, they kind of turn out perfect. But if I'm not using a tensioned lazy Kate, it turns into a big mess, man. It pigtails on itself and it's just, oh, It's terrible. It's terrible. And I have a really hard time keeping it organized and keeping it from twisting around itself while I'm trying to apply it if I don't have a tension lazy cake. So I won't be making that mistake again. That's been a lot of fun. And on travel spinning, I did start spinning on a 4 ounce braid of Into the World Rambouillet in the colorway, Just Pretentious Enough. And I am spinning that on my Daedalus Sparrow Wheel. That's pretty cool. I got my battery all the way charged up. So that'll be perfect for some of the adventures that I've got coming up here in the near future. That's awesome. And I'm going to have to start sampling some various types of fiber. And I'm going to spin that on my Louette S45 accelerator wheel, because I don't get a whole lot of opportunities to work with that wheel. And I think this project 100% lends itself perfectly to using that wheel. So I'm excited about that. I've been super busy and pretty pleased with my progress. That's just about all I've got. I've been super busy and pretty pleased with my progress. In this episode, I am all spun up about cascading style sheets. I'm sure you're curious why that would even come to mind. Okay, so as I was doing my website refresh, two terrible things were annoying me. Okay, they were little things, but they became terrible because I was unable to change them in the standard theme website builder that I have. I did a ton of research, probably spent almost the entire week on it. And literally, there was a hero banner at the top of the Forever Handmade page that I just wanted it to go away because it was not serving a purpose for me. But my theme and my website builder did not have a button to just deactivate it and make it go away. That's all I wanted. So because I wasn't using it for its intended purpose, it was just this giant gray banner across the top of my website, which was terrible. For a while, I thought my only option was going to be to like completely switch the theme and builder I was using in order to find a theme that did not have this stupid hero banner. But I fixed it. And then on the Spin Control podcast theme, I really like the theme that I had. It was pretty easy to use. I'm just hosting my podcast episodes there. But the issue that I was having was that I could not, like, there was no automatic function for me to change the colors of the buttons on the front page that take you into each of the episodes. They were yellow. Yellow is absolutely nothing to do with my brand themes. You're like, brand themes? I know. I don't mean to be a total dork, but Bird, years ago, and it's probably not been too many years, when she was in college, she actually built me a whole brand style sheet for Forever Handmade and for the podcast and all that. And yellow is not a single color in my brand identity, and I could not get rid of it. However, through the magic that is YouTube, I figured out how to go in and change the CSS coding on these two websites to fix these problems. Like, I punched in code and I changed it in the code. Like, that's so cool. And like, the hardest part about making the change was researching how to do it. It literally took 5 minutes each to go and typing in about five words to make these changes successfully. It was awesome. I'm like so proud of myself that I learned how to make these changes. And I guess it makes me a bit more confident in having to manage and do these kind of things in the future, because I know that like we have all the information of the entire world at our fingertips. I could just Google it and figure it out myself. It made me so happy. Like, I was so tempted and so scared to change the CSS that I was thinking about like going on to Fiverr or something to see if I could get like web development help to do these. And it took me 5 minutes a piece. I should pay myself the money I would have paid someone else to do it. Isn't that ridiculous? And I'm glad I didn't even like break down and pay someone, because that would have been so silly. Because they weren't even terrible issues. They just bothered me really bad. But I fixed it myself. I'm so super proud of myself that I was able to go in and change the CSS code and fix my websites by myself. That's what's got me all spun up. Well, It looks like it is time to spin off this episode of Spin Control. Thank you all for joining me. In the weeks to come, we've got quite a few adventures. I am getting ready to head out for Memorial Day weekend to do our first camping trip of the season, and we're super excited for that. It's kind of like a shakedown trip to make sure that all of our gear and our camper and everything is ready for like some of our bigger trips, like the trip to the Rocky Mountain National Park that we've got planned the first week of June. So it's pretty exciting. We're ready to go. We will be going off with another set of friends that we have. We're taking the dogs. We're, you know, just chilling. We're going north to Cripple Creek. So it should be a lot of fun. And we're pretty excited about that. And it's so nice that the boy's going to get a long weekend, because right now I'm enjoying 7-day weekends. Kind of. They're not really, because I work a lot during the day on the house and on my brand stuff. But anyway, pretty excited about that. And I'm also excited to announce that by the time this episode has been released, I will have already released the first edition of Show and Tell. I stood up a YouTube channel and I recorded an episode of Show and Tell so that you guys can see a little bit more about that Luette S45 spinning wheel that I'm getting ready to do a project on. And that is super cool. I recorded it, I edited it, and I got it posted actually earlier today. So I'm excited. So you should go over there and check it out. And I will keep you guys posted on other videos I release in the future that will be supporting the audio episode. And if there's anything you guys want to see that you haven't seen, I now have the means to show you pretty easily. I will be leading us out this episode with the song Life Goes On, the namesake of this episode. And the song is pretty upbeat, so I hope you enjoy that. And as always, you can get the details about this episode and all the past episodes at spincontrolpodcast.com. You can email me at shiloh@foreverhandmade.com and catch me on Ravelry and Instagram as Forever Handmade. Thanks again, guys. I'll talk to you soon.